So good afternoon, Sunday School scholars, those who are here learning about God's Word, brethren and sisters. How are you guys enjoying the talk so far? Good? Give me one thing you've learned. Anybody? What stood out in any of the talks? I don't want to have to call names.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Did you like his tie?
Yeah.
Yeah, he thought it got voted the world's worst tie, so I just want to make sure he feels okay with that. Anybody else have anything? Yes, you had your hand up, Jordan? Is it? Thank you, Jordan. Do you want to deal with your son here? Well, that's good. The topic that I've been given today is one that has to carry a great deal of thought. And the title of it that I have here is "Am I Ready for Baptism?" Actually, I believe in the title in the program, he's got a lot of the words "so" there. You notice that? Mine's "so." How do we know when we're ready for baptism? Well, I'd like to say first of all, I can't tell you. How about that for an answer? Your friends can't tell you. Your parents can't tell you. Neither can any of your family members tell you when you are ready to be baptized. And even though there are others who have been baptized who think they may know your state, they too cannot tell you when you're ready to be baptized. So I guess this really wraps up my talk, doesn't it? That answers the question, how do we know when we're ready for baptism? So I would like to thank at this time Brother Mike for giving me the shortest talk ever. Thank you. Well, maybe I should go on a little more. He said I had to talk for at least 15 minutes. There are some other things, though, we can talk about to figure out when the best time for baptism is. And what our motivation should be in baptism. Yahweh told Israel, "I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live." So, let me begin by saying this. Anyone can study the baptismal questions. Anybody can look at the answers and memorize. And as a lot of you have been through school, you could ace this test. Is that really what it's about, though? Is acing the baptismal questions? You know, we sit down sometimes with our parents or Sunday school teacher and say, you know, I want to be baptized, so let's go through the questions so that I can make sure I have them all right when I sit in front of the baptismal committee. I want to tell a little story. It's a true story. It didn't happen in the this Christadelphian group, but it is a true story, and it goes to what I'm saying. At school, at a certain school, they have sororities and groups to join. And this one group said, had a member that wanted to come and join in and be a part of this sorority. And one of the things that he had to do for his initiation was to become a Christadelphian. I don't know why. I can't answer that question. But that was his initiation. Probably because you could walk into most churches and become a member by sitting in a pew. But for Christadelphians, it's not that way. At any rate, this guy went and he studied and studied and studied. And he memorized the questions. And went to the point of saying, "I would like to be baptized." Well, he aced the test, as it were. And he did get baptized. But he never showed up of Sunday upon Sunday upon Sunday. One day, a brother bumped into him in a shopping center. He went up to him and he said, "Fred, how come you never showed up to receive the right hand of fellowship? You did good on the baptismal interview. You passed your test. You got baptized. But you didn't show up for the right hand of fellowship. Why not?" He said, "Well, I never wanted to become a Christadelphian. I just wanted to join my sorority. And that is how it can be. We can go through these motions, go through this test, this baptismal interview, if you want to call it that, and ace if we study and memorize. It's what motivates some people, and history has shown that because your peers are getting baptized all around you, the thought is, well, I better get with it. I better get baptized as well. Wrong. Wrong. A brother or sister who's dating in the world, as we just heard, now wants to get married. Get those questions out. We need to memorize and we need to be baptized so we won't be unequally yoked. Wrong. Wrong motivation. You hit 20 years of age. Your Sunday school teacher or your dad and mom say, it's time you were immersed. You've been through Sunday school. You know better. Get out those questions. Study them like you're going to get a test at school. Wrong. So what do the scriptures say about all this? I want to draw your attention to a perfect example that's laid out for us in Acts. You don't have to look it up. I'm going to put, hopefully they'll show up on the screen here, where the people that had been converted to the truth started to become very numerous, lots of them. And so they chose 7 men to help out in the work. Listen to how the characters were supposed to be that were to help out. So the first thing we want to look at is Acts 6. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men, honest report, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we'll give ourselves continually to prayer, to the ministry of the word, and the saying pleased the whole multitude. So here's who they chose. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. Now just looking at this list, let me take a stab in the dark. Austin, who do you think I'm going to talk about? Perfect. He said Stephen. Out of these few words that I just read out to you, you'd think he's going to talk about Stephen, isn't he? No, not really. That was a good shot, though. It had kind of fit in with what I had here. We want to look at another brother here in this story who plays a most important role. And he is one of the 7. His name is Philip. He's named in amongst these other 6 names here. And here lies a man that went out, learned very quickly what is needed to be shown by one who believes that he or she is ready for baptism. It'll help us to look at the answer to this question that we have posed to us, that my topic has. So let's look at the first baptism that Philip is recorded performing. We want to pick up the story and continue in Acts 8. And verse 4 says, therefore they were scattered abroad, went everywhere preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. Many taken with palsies that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Here we have the word simply being preached, talked about, meditated upon and taught. And at that time, the power of the Holy Spirit was upon them to assist them in the proving of the gospel message. And therefore, they performed miracles as well. Amidst all this preaching, there was one man, though, that stood amongst the rest. His name was Simon. So let's look at the next verses. There was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. To him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. He was full of himself. He tricked people into believing that he had power. And not only that, he had the power of God. Yet the scripture here is very, very clear. He did it for self-gain, for money, financially, and he wanted self-recognition. So the record continues on. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Take note, he now is traveling with Philip. He's baptized. But it also says he beheld the miracles that were performed. It seemed as though these miracles really fascinated him. But it says he did believe, and he was baptized. But if we were to jump down to verse 17 in this same chapter, Simon's true colors come out. That's not a very long time later. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Spirit." His motivation now is becoming clear again, isn't it? He showed by his fruits what he really desired. His heart was not truly converted. Oh, he answered the test. He aced the test. He had the academic level. He knew the answers, but his heart was far from serving God. How do we know that? Well, if we pick it up in verse 20, now we have Peter involved. But Peter said unto him, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. For thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter." Look it. "For thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God that if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." They perceived that he was doing this for self-gain. Then Simon says, "Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken about come upon me." Now he's a little bit afraid. We know that Peter took over the rebuke here. And by doing so, he was actually instructing Philip how to do a baptismal interview, how to recognize one that is truly ready. Peter was teaching Philip that there is more than just answering the questions, that the truth must not only be known academically, but it must be shown forth in our actions. That would truly demonstrate now that our hearts are truly converted. How do we know it's true that Peter was teaching Philip? Well, if we go to the next incident in Philip's life, at his next baptismal interview, we find the answer. "The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. He arose and went. There was a man of Ethiopia. He had great authority. He was in charge of all the treasury under Candace. And he was returning and sitting in his character, reading Isaiah, the prophet. The Spirit said to Philip, Go near, join yourself to this chariot. And he ran thither, and he says, Do you understand what you're reading? See that? Do you understand? Again, we see knowledge is very important. We must all believe the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, otherwise known as the Atonement. Well, after an explanation, the Ethiopian man said, I understand everything. I understand these things. And it's the next question that shows that Philip did learn from Peter the importance of believing from the heart. Look what he says here. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here's water. What hinders me to be baptized? Philip said, If you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I do believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The eunuch said, What's stopping me? If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And that was the key. If you believe with all your heart, you can get baptized. Look at what Jesus taught in Mark. Jesus said, answered them, The first of all the commandments is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. It is the first commandment. You know, dear friends, it is loving Yahweh from the heart, and that is the key to knowing if you are ready to be baptized. That's why no one can tell you to be baptized. The only person that can tell you when you're ready is your heart. Are you ready to follow His commands to the best of your ability? Are you ready to walk according as He has asked you? Will you make an effort to meet each week around this table of remembrance that we meet tomorrow as we have been asked to do? Or is just this another one of those checkmark things on your list of things to do in life? Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The Greek means to change your mind, to change your purpose. Brother Thomas said, to be renewed. It has the idea of turning about, so as to move in a new direction. Understanding the teaching of Peter, the sorrow of the people was genuine, and it found expression in action. A complete transformation is required. It's represented a mental conviction, which was followed by action in baptism. And both are essential to salvation. We are told when we are baptized to put off the old man. Do you think we can really put off the old man? No. We are to put on the new man. Can we do this? If the old man is serving the flesh, then we can never put it off. However, we are to strive always to put on the new man, that is, the spiritual man, into our hearts, our minds, and our souls. We will always fight against that which goes against the commands of Yahweh. There's no doubt about it. We are not perfect people that stand here. Do not strive to be like someone in the truth. Do not think that anyone here is perfect. You would find it difficult to measure up to them, so you might think. Or you might even say, therefore, I better not get baptized, because I could never be like brother or sister so-and-so. We will all go through life failing and correcting ourselves at each turn. If we truly want to serve Yahweh, that is what life is. Failing and correcting. Failing and correcting. That's what He asks of each of us. Do your very best, and you will become servants pleasing to Me. To choose otherwise is what we opened our quote with, is to choose death. We are servants to one or the other. We either flow with the world, or we choose to follow what Yahweh has commanded. I'd like to tell another story here. Somebody said, I like to tell stories. For some reason, they seem to drive the point home. A couple of weeks ago, we had our Sunday school program in Richard. I was kind of looking for a story that would fit my talk, and I was struggling to find the right story that would get across the point. But a couple of weeks ago at our Sunday school program, a brother who did a short talk for us told the exact story that fits my talk. And it fits what we are talking about here this weekend. So I want to share this story because of its relevance. Two hunters, Sean and Nathan, we're going to call them for whatever reason. They were out hunting, and they came upon what appeared to, at first, as an abandoned farm. Why? Because the barn was sagging. The house was in disrepair. Junk cars and car parts lying all around. The only thing that made it a working farm were just a few chickens pecking away, an old goat staring at them from the barn door. And so as they entered the yard, they came across an old well. Well, Sean said to Nathan, "Wonder how deep that well is." The other stated, well, only thing we can do is have to drop something down the well and listen for the splash. Well, they looked around for something to drop down the well. But the only thing close by was this, an old truck transmission. Well, they both hauled it over to the well, and they dropped it in. They counted, and they waited a long time for the splash. This was a deep well, all right. But a noise behind them made them turn quickly around to see that old goat was charging at them, head down, horns headed straight for them. Well, Sean and Nathan dived out of the way at the last moment. That old goat plunged straight down past them and head down first into the well. They just stood there and they looked at each other in amazement. Well, as they started to leave, the owner of the farm came home, rolling up in his old clattery truck. Well, they chatted for a moment, and they kindly asked permission to maybe hunt on his land. The farmer said, "That's great, go ahead." But the farmer looked around and puzzled. He asked the two hunters, he said, "Have you seen my goat?" They said, "Your goat almost killed us. It came charging at us like it was mad. You should have that goat tied up." The old farmer replied, "I thought I had him tied up. Yes, in fact, I did have him tied up to an old transmission that was sitting over there." So the main lesson that we get out of this little story is you follow what you're tied to. Doesn't that fit? You either follow the things of the world, or you follow the things of God. We are to be tied to Yahweh's word of truth, his commands, not to the world around us. Paul is the only human that was able to say, "Be followers of me as I am of Christ." We only have one example to follow, and it is this through whom we must measure ourselves by. Yahweh says he is no respecter of persons. In other words, he doesn't look at us as robots. He does not look at us and judge us by what we may look like. He judges the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Living the truth and giving the truth 100% is what God is asking each of us. And as was already mentioned, it's difficult. There's no doubt you will fail. But the beauty of this all is that baptism opens a door of forgiveness once you have followed the prescribed way back by confessing and forsaking your sins. Brother Reen Grocott said, "Baptism is not only for the remission of sins. That truly is vital and primary and clears our past, but it is static. By itself, it would not help us. Baptism is to put us into Christ and into all he stands for and embodies, to take our feet out of the way of death and to set them in the motion in the way of life. Baptism is only for such believers, for baptism is the obedience of faith, so that where belief of the truth does not exist, there can be no obedience." In other words, if you really don't believe the truth, you really won't obey what Yahweh asks. So the question remains, am I ready for baptism? Am I ready to obey? Do I have faith in Yahweh? Will he fulfill the promises he has made? Will he forgive me when I fail? Do I truly believe? Will I choose to be tied to him? I've heard many young people say to me, "God would not want me. I'm a horrible sinner." Well, guess what? You have just begun the first step that God asks from you, confession and recognition that you are a sinner. Just do not underestimate God's power of forgiveness. I've also heard this from young people. I'm not good enough yet to be baptized. I need to get my life more in line. True, you need your life in line, but with God's help, all things are possible. And this type of language would indicate a lack of faith. None of us are good enough, but we try our best, and that is what God asks from each of us. Don't make excuses. He's heard them all. You just have to get out there and you do your best. So we ask the question again. When will I know I'm ready for baptism? When you are truly ready, you will understand that Yahweh will help you throughout your life, through the many downfalls, through the joys, through the trials and tribulations, and the times of rejoicing. You will desire to serve Him with all your heart, your mind, and your soul, knowing that our Father will be merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Study. Meditate upon His word, and He will direct your paths. If you truly seek Him, and search out His ways, and ask Him for guidance, Yahweh will find you and guide you to call you each out of this world of darkness into a most marvelous light. It then becomes your choice to answer the call. If you reject His call, you know what the answer is. The future with Yahweh is so much brighter than this world can offer. Even though it seems like opportunity knocks all around you with job opportunities or relationships or school, whatever it might be, don't become tied to the world. It is heading down the well. It is temporary compared to the everlasting promise that is offered to all who are obedient. We are told that we cannot serve two masters. Your first act of obedience is to pass through the waters of baptism. You then will have the Lord Jesus Christ as your advocate. And who better could you ask for? Is it an easy road? Not all the time. But with Yahweh on our side, all things are possible. Right now, you can pray that Yahweh will lead you to Him. But know this, without baptism, you have no hope. If you have a knowledge of the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have a desire to serve Him, then what is your holdup? The question is, what are you tied to? Ask yourselves. The challenge is, are you ready to be baptized? What is your heart saying to you? Choose life. Fear not, little flock, says Jesus, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.